Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, and the Holy Gospel. It is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with a child and that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. "And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds." Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Francis de Sales was born in France in the year 1567. He was the eldest of six brothers. And when he was old enough, he went to the College of Clermont in Paris. And one of the classes that he took was a course in theology. And at that time, a heavily debated question was that of predestination. And it was at that time that St. Francis de Sales suffered a terrible and prolonged temptation to despair. For 6 long weeks, he experienced tormenting temptations to abandon all hope in God's goodness and mercy. But one day he was suddenly freed from all these temptations as he knelt before a miraculous image of Our Lady. Then in 1593, Francis was ordained to the Holy Priesthood. And 9 years later, he was consecrated and became the Bishop of Geneva. And throughout the course of years, he worked zealously for the glory of God and the salvation of souls, converting 72,000 Calvinist heretics by his meekness and by his humility and by his love for the truth. He also founded the Nuns of the Visitation Order, which was a very effective work in the work of saving souls. And he did this until his death in 1622, working for souls. And there is an inspiring story about an incident which took place during his life, where one day a gentleman came to him in great distress. He was tormented by the thought of death. He could not escape it. And he also greatly feared the judgments of God. In fact, his fears had thrown him into the lowest depths of sadness. He was completely despondent. And so it was that this troubled man went to St. Francis de Sales for consolation. And St. Francis said to the melancholy man, "My friend, there is no torment so great as this one. You are being tempted to despair. I know it well," he went on to say, "for I myself had to endure such temptations for 6 weeks. And I am well able, from personal experience, to speak on this matter. Let me tell you then that if anyone has the earnest desire to serve our Lord, he should not be tempted by the thought of death and judgment." So, by these words of St. Francis, he meant that anyone who is trying to live according to God's laws, the Ten Commandments, and so forth, that such people have no need to worry about dying, no need to worry about being judged. St. Francis continued, "Or if we must need have some fear of them, that is of death and judgment," he said, "let it be a fear mingled with confidence." He said, "because God is our Father, and his love for us is boundless. And has he not told us that those who hope in him shall never be confounded? So, my son," he said, "keep before your mind what St. Paul says of those who love God. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And thus St. Paul and St. Francis de Sales were both saying that you can have great hope in your eternal salvation if you strive to love Jesus Christ with all your heart. And today we read the last Sunday of the liturgical year, the certain signs which our Lord told us would precede the end of the world. Our Lord said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. By the words which our Lord used, the tribulation of those days, our Lord meant the tribulation which came upon the Jewish people at the siege of Jerusalem in the year 70 AD. And more pointedly, our Lord was saying that these signs would occur immediately after the year 70. And a famous scripture scholar gives the reason for these words. He writes that our Lord said this in order to keep his disciples and those who succeeded them, that's us, in constant expectation of his coming and the day of judgment. And because our Lord wanted to urge them, and we ourselves, to be always prepared for it. He wanted us to prepare ourselves for our last end. And a necessary quality that we must have in this preparation for the end of our own self or the end of the world, whichever comes first, is to have a great hope in attaining our last end, which is heaven. And this hope has to be part of our life in the midst of our daily trials and the tribulations which come to us. The gospel for today's Mass makes it very clear of the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations which are in store for those who are around at the end of the world. And one difficulty that our Lord mentioned in the gospel is that the sun shall be darkened. People tend towards the light. And so St. Augustine says that by the sun we are to understand the church. He says that the church shall be darkened because in those tremendous tribulations and temptations which shall be in the end of the world, many who had seemed as bright and as firm as the sun and the stars shall fall away from the faith. They shall fall away from a state of grace, he says. And so our Lord is warning us that many will be lost, and that only those who persevere to the end, they will be saved. And it only takes a very simple thought to look to our Lord upon the cross to restore hope to our souls, to see what our Lord did in hanging from the cross, that we can be moved thereby to love him more, to place our confidence in him. Our Lord also said in the gospel that he would send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. That is a wonderful thought, that when the world will have come to an end, our blessed Lord will order his angels to gather those who are saved. That is a wonderful thought. We who are striving to be among the sheepfold. But he also explains how he will send his angels to gather those who are damned, those who are among the wolves in sheep's clothing. And this sound of the angel's trumpet will reverberate throughout the entire world. And that sound of the trumpet will be a very joyous sound for those who are saved. But it will be one of terror to those who are damned. But for those who are striving to follow Christ and to lead good Catholic lives here on earth, that trumpet will be one a cause of immense hope. That is why throughout life we have to remind ourselves of the gospel truths. And we can even take these things here on earth, music, the trumpet, sounds of jubilation, and we can use them to raise our minds to when the angels will sound the celestial trumpet and call us to heaven. At that time, there will be an end to all trials, an end to all tribulations for the elect, and the beginning of eternal happiness in heaven. The elect in the gospel passage for the Mass are meant the eagles. And that's where our Lord says, wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And by this, our Lord is telling us that when he comes at the end of the world to judge the entire human race, his elect will hasten to him. They will fly to him. And his coming is not going to be one of where we are not sure if this is him or not. It will be immediately known, as the fathers of the church teach, immediately known. No one will wonder, is this Christ or not? And when our Lord does come, we will all know unmistakably and clearly that this is our supreme Lord, Jesus Christ, and that he has come to judge all men, to use his infinite justice and to use his infinite mercy. And when our Lord does come, some men will run to him. And that's why our Lord says, wheresoever the body shall be, there also shall the eagles be gathered together. Because the body is our Lord. The eagles are the elect, those who will fly to our Lord himself. And interestingly, our Lord used many, many parables in his preaching. And St. Francis de Sales did as well. So many, many times he makes comparisons to the irrational life in comparison to the virtues which we are to practice. And even St. Paul is filled with analogies in his epistles. And our Lord used the eagles very appropriately and for a purpose, because eagles are known to have great vision. In fact, at an altitude of a great distance, they can spot their prey over, I think they said, 3 square miles of territory. And that's why our Lord, who created all animals, saved them all upon the ark, and had them all specifically made according to how he wanted them to be made. He chose this particular animal, a bird, for the representation of a supernatural truth for us to use. That we are like unto the eagles who will, wherever we are, America, China, anywhere, a missionary, anyone, whoever lives, whoever's alive, out of the 8 billion people in the world, everybody will have this quality of seeing our Lord immediately present, as soon as he comes. And because we do not know when he will come, that is why he tells us to be prepared. And this does entail much effort and struggle. And that is why I say we must place all our hope in the goodness of Jesus Christ. For the crown of glory which awaits us in heaven far outweighs all the sufferings, all the tribulations which we experience here on earth. St. Paul says, I can do all things in him who strengtheneth me. But without God, we can do nothing. So let us then with great hope firmly trust, as it says in the Baltimore Catechism, that God will give us eternal life. Place your trust in God's care, as St. Francis de Sales did. Have an earnest desire to serve our Lord, as St. Francis did. To continuously, day after day, to lead good Catholic lives in the midst of a godless and immoral world. And when the cross weighs heavily upon you, that's the time to place all your hope and confidence in him. For it is only when it is difficult, when we do find ourselves crushed beneath the weight of the cross, our difficulties, when it is completely pitch black in our lives, that's when we're imitating our Lord most perfectly. Imagine to yourselves the angels sounding the trumpets. And then picture to yourself accompanying them to attain your reward of eternal happiness that will never end. Let us repeat with St. Francis the words of St. Paul. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.